This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
What rolls downstairs, a loner in pairs, and makes a buzzity sound? It's long, a schlong, a marvelous dong.
Everyone knows it's dildo.
What fits in a sock feels better than cock, and unlike a man, it's slow. It vibrates a bit, feels great on your clit.
Everyone knows it's dildo.
It's dildo, it's dildo. It's big, it's fleshy, it's ribbed.
It's dildo, it's dildo.
Yes, that's right, it's ribbed. What fits in your cracks, some even have sacks. The penis you don't have to blow. They're not just for gays, they use double A's.
Everyone knows it's dildo.
A dildo dog, a dildo plane, many more vibrating toys. You turn the knob, they buzz and throb. Feels great in girls and boys.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek, who else would have that little ditty on air?
Oh, there's more of that fun coming.
People are going to have that song stuck in their head tomorrow morning.
I know, it's a little bit earwormish.
Yes, so we are talking dildos. If you've got a question, let us know.
Oh, we would love to hear from you.
Yes.
Because, you know, things that you shove up inside you, you've got to think a little bit more about it than what you might already. There's a lot, apart from the actual dynamics of it, there's actually quite a bit more that you should consider.
All right.
And that's what we're going to explore tonight.
We are. So first question, Dean.
Yes.
Girth or length?
That's the in-house expert.
Girth or length?
Ah.
What's better for a beginner?
Great question, Andrew, and I'm glad you've posted. I want to go a little bit step back from
okay.
that. Before you even get to that, I just want to acknowledge the traditional landowner. No, I want to acknowledge that before you even shove anything up there, you might want to create a space for that thing to go up there.
Fair enough, yes.
And by that I mean cleaning out. Now, this episode is not going to be about that.
No.
We're going to perhaps on another occasion.
Yes.
Tackle that.
I'm sure if you go back through our back catalogue,
there's a bit of that. A bit of that.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that first. Secondly, back to your question, and it's a good question. Length or girth? Now, it's the age-old debate.
It is.
You know?
We could have a whole show on it.
And I think it's probably best to say that everyone's unique in this space. Some like the length,
mm-hmm.
others like the girth. You know, some people love having their prostate particularly, which is a spot approximately 8 to 9 inches deep with inside. And for some a little less, for some a little more. We're all different. They like to have that massaged, touched, played with, and stroked. For others, you go anywhere near it, and I tell you what, you'll get a backhand and a black eye for the sake of it. And I'm one of them. Personally, that's me. We could go in extensively as to why, but we won't. But length is one thing, width is another. And some people like the probing depth.
Mm-hmm.
Others like the expanding horizons that present with girth.
Is there, for somebody who's listening in for the first time...
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
what's your experience
okay.
about the differences?
All right. First things first. More often than not, your eyes are bigger than your belly. Now, you've probably heard your mother say that one or two times, and she was right, you know, let's face it. I would suggest go slowly with this. If you're starting out, go slowly. And this is a particularly good advice for tops.
Right.
Because, you know, actually the best advice for tops is embrace your God-given talent and do not, under any circumstances, go anywhere else than what God has given you. But that's probably a selfish perspective from a bottom. So what I'm suggesting is if you do and have to go down the path of, you know, exploring whatever the other half the other 90% of humanity, or is that just in Melbourne, has to explore, then go gently and slowly and work your way up. I mean, there are kits available that have got sort of graded incremental butt plugs, for example, that you can work yourself up. But, you know, start with yourself first and foremost.
So fingers?
Fingers. And let's face it, you've got at least five of them,
yes.
Possibly 10 if you've got two hands. And you might want to just, you know, explore the realms that those 10 can provide,
yes,
before you go anywhere else. And they, I might add, are also the safest. Well, they're yours to begin with.
As long as you've cut your nails. Now,
thank you.
With
three C's.
Three C's?
Communication, clipped nails, and Crisco. But we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. but even if I'm using my fingers, mm-hmm, I still should not just be licking them to provide some lubrication.
No. No. Well, lube is a whole category of its own, Andrew. Let's focus on instruments.
Dildos first, yes.
Right, okay. So you've got a couple of major types. You've got butt plugs, dildos, and vibrators.
So butt plugs are the conical ones.
Yeah, and they tend to have kind of a pyramid-type shape with a lip. And more importantly, they've got a base. Now, that's really important, actually.
A flared base.
It's important because, I hate to say it, but there are often some rather tragic accidents that occur in our community because there is one, not a string to pull things back to. You basically, whatever goes in, you want to be able to get out.
Yes.
Right? And a flared base will assist with that.
We'll prevent it falling
from
all the way in.
Disappearing. Yep. A string that is properly anchored, mm-hmm, and there are toys out there that don't have properly anchored strings, I might add. That will help retrieve things. You know, if you're very centered and very zen with your anal play, you're probably more advanced and able to deal with things that aren't tethered.
Yes.
But if you're not,
be careful.
Make sure that you are well and truly tethered.
And often the butt plugs also have the flared base also comes as a suction cap.
Yeah, but you don't want to rely on that because sometimes, you know, when you're getting a bit heave-ho, I have heard on the grapevine that suction caps have come loose.
Oh, okay.
And not from the wall. No. They're anchored to the wall well and truly.
Yes.
Yeah, they're there on the wall.
Okay.
But the rest of it's come with you.
Oh, yes. Okay. Rightio.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. No, I've been told that.
Okay. Mm. And the other danger is if the suction cap itself dislodges from the wall, you could go head over tail.
Well, I'm not sure whether you're trying to actually hang from the ceiling.
But even against the wall.
But even against the wall, yeah. You're right. And don't forget, you know, tiles are just tiles. Sometimes they might come with you.
They could.
And that could all mean all sorts of bathroom renovations that you didn't expect.
So obviously, we've mentioned the bathroom. That's one location you could do.
It's probably a good place to start, at least in the cleaning.
In the cleaning area. Yeah. What are some of the best positions for a beginner to use a dildo or a butt plug?
Before we go down even that path, can we talk about materials?
Yes. Well, or do you want to do
since
between dildos
since
and
God created Adam and Adam?
Yes.
People have been shoving things up their hole.
Yes.
And that's a simple fact of life. We have to acknowledge that. And if you look at cave paintings way back to Adam, you know, there's things going up holes that were not specifically designed, but sculptured. And we continue to sculpture things out of all sorts of materials to shove up our ass. And on that basis, these days, more and more organisations, let's say companies, are manufacturing materials that are cheap to produce, create exactly what the consumer wants, and at the end of the day, people shove them up their holes. But there's a problem because, you know, there are certain petrochemicals and plastic softeners and all sorts of things that go into the manufacture of these products that, frankly, are disastrous. Some of them actually fatal, cancer-causing.
So Yeah, so plastic toys, which are the most common nowadays.
Yeah, but you see, the thing, Andrew, is that there is plastic and there's plastic. And that's again, part of the problem. Soft plastic toys, let's say, you know, you've seen jelly toys
yep.
and that sort of thing out in the marketplace. Some of those are amongst the worst. They're the most comfortable and easiest to play with, but they can be amongst the worst. And that's because they use a specific softening agent that it's called a phthalate. And that softening agent is highly cancerous and has actually been banned across Europe and across America and here in Australia. But there are still manufacturers that are making products with these phthalates.
Right, okay.
And there are also organisations that are dumping their reserves, if you like, of product into the marketplace with incorrect labels.
So buy beware on what product consistency your product is made of.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are on Joy. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Beck are talking dildos with you.
Shove it up your ass.
A big thank you to Megan, who is saying she's loving the topic.
Thank you, Megan.
And Scotty has also messaged in.
Scotty has said, "Hi, Dean and Andrew. Here is something that I find interesting. I'm a top, but when I'm having me time, as in I'm having a wank, in my fantasy scenario, I'm copping it beautifully. So I think I'm a latent bottom with latent tendencies that I'm not willing to acknowledge. What do we think?" Well, Scotty.
Well, yes.
I think that you need some therapy because God has given you a talent of which there are very few. And I think that you need to, what's the word? Exorcise these latent tendencies and embrace your God-given talent as a top and leave it at that.
Really?
Well.
I'm surprised to.
I might be very selfish in that approach and that advice, but...
I would also say, though, to Scotty, that, you know, what we're talking about tonight...
May help. It wasn't meant for you. So...
No. Embrace who you are.
Embrace whatever it is that you are. Just don't forget that you're a top for a reason, and that's all I want to say. And we love you for it. And now, we will continue to love you for
we
it.
We are talking...
And you'll be more loved than most because you are a top. Have I reinforced that enough?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Moving on.
Materials.
Yes, materials.
Right. Okay. Now, there's all sorts of things that go into making dildos. Traditionally, there was pottery, porcelain, clays, wood. Carvings. I mean, you only have to go to Bali and you see these huge cocks everywhere made out of wood.
Yes.
Not everywhere, but you know what I mean. And but these days, they make them out of glass.
Yes. Very strong glass.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's certain types of glass. You wouldn't want to just put any type of glass up there. You could, for a number of reasons. Some of them chip very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But glass is very good conductor of heat. So you can warm up a glass dildo and it can hold that warmth for quite some time.
Yes.
Or you can cool it down and create sort of a cold sensation.
And metals, the other one.
Metal,
yes.
Aluminium,
yes.
Certain metals, various plastics. And, of course, silicon has been the big sort of new thing for dildos. Now, let's talk about silicon.
Right.
Silicon's great, but there are 32 grades of silicon.
Right? Okay.
So you've got your WD-40 on your industrial grade, pretty crappy, shitty type of grade silicon, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't want to put that anywhere near you.
Yes, because it would still be grainy.
No. It's still a liquid and it's still slippery, but it's just not of the breast implant quality, which is, of course, at your number 32 grade.
Right, okay.
Right, because that's going inside you. Now, of those 32 grades, not only are they graded, but they are a various expense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you've probably seen various lubricants on the marketplace that are quite cheap and others that are really expensive and wondered why the price difference.
And that's because the silicon's different.
That's because the quality of the product is very different.
Ah.
Similarly, and particularly, actually, I might add, with toys, you know, there are a lot of products on the market that say that they're silicon, and frankly, they're not. For a start, anything that is clear is not silicon. Anything that is jelly and like you can see clearly through it, it's not silicon. The clearest silicon available, as far as a solid product, not a liquid product, is concerned, is cloudy at best.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can add colour to that, no worries. But you certainly can't see through it like you can a window.
Okay.
It just won't be silicon. You can have various plastics that you can see through to that extent that market themselves as silicon. But I tell you right now, they have no silicon in them whatsoever, because silicon in that solid form is very cloudy. That's why often, you know, you might see silicon baking products. They're a solid, opaque colour. They add a colouring agent to them. There's no way they can make a clear product like that. It's just not possible.
So of our different types of devices, butt plugs, dildos, vibrators,
mm-hmm.
and we still haven't really got to dildos and vibrators.
No, I know. The show's almost over.
is it more likely that a different material is used for a particular type of device?
Sure. And here's the other thing. They will often use multiple products to make the toy, particularly in a vibrator, for example. You know, you might have a solid core that's made out of a type of plastic and have a sleeve that goes over the top of that that is made out of a silicone or whatever. And what you've got to be really careful is where those things join. Your average dildo is made out of a petrochemical-based rubberized softened plastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is highly porous.
Okay.
That leaches oils,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you put a condom over it to protect it and keep it clean, etc., that condom will degrade very, very quickly because of the oils that leach out of that plastic into the rubber of the condom. And we know that oil and oil, or condoms and oil don't mix. You might have, many of you, I'm sure, would have put a condom over a toy and had your play, and the next day you've woken up and you've lifted the towel off the condom that has off the toy that's wrapped in a condom, and you've looked at it and you've gone, oh my God, the condom's broken on that toy. That's because in that very short space of time, only a few hours, that condom has degraded to the point where it's just exploded and fallen apart.
So very quickly, the core difference between dildo and vibrator is...
Well, one's got a battery element to it.
Yep.
Now, if you're an environmentalist and it's not a rechargeable toy with a rechargeable battery inside it...
Or a USB nowadays.
Some of them do. You know, you churn through them pretty quick. We're talking about technology that up until about 5 years ago had not changed in 40 years.
There we go.
Which says a lot about the industry, I might add.
Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice with you on Hide and Seek. We're talking about things that you shove up your hole.
We are. And to shove it up your hole,
yes,
you should have good lubrication.
You certainly should. Now, there's a couple of things to know here. There's a basic framework that you need to know. Water-based lubes are fine with everything.
There we go. That's...
Period.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
However, oil-based lubes are not good with any rubber or petrochemical-based plastic.
But silicon's pretty good.
Silicon's great.
Except...
Lube? Are we talking silicon lube? Okay.
Silicon lube
is great with pretty much all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Except... You want to get the best silicon lube you can get, and that won't affect any of your silicon toys. But if you get a cheap silicon lube and put that with a silicon toy, it's like putting an oil-based lube with an oil or petrochemical-based toy. They start to break each other down.
Ah, I gotcha.
Right?
Yep.
So a top of the range silicon-based lube is fine. A water-based lube is fine. A cheap silicon lube is great for wanking, but absolutely shit-house for toys.
And skin-on-skin, because skin-on-skin, it's up to people are probably used to different things.
You mean spit?
No. I'm meaning even just sex-wise.
Okay.
And wanking.
Mm.
Silicon mm-hmm. can be great at that. Water-based can be a bit shit.
Yeah, because after a bit it goes claggy and claggy. A bit horrible yuck. And actually cheap silicon goes a bit like that after a bit too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's good to have both on hand, silicon and water.
Here's the thing with expensive silicon lube, right? Yeah, it is bloody expensive, and it really is. It's ridiculously expensive for a good quality silicon lube.
And remember, you need to be using a lot of it. You should be using a good amount of
that's
it.
But that's the point. With the top quality lube, silicon lubes, you don't need a lot, right? Yeah. People invariably use actually too much.
Right.
If you use a top-of-the-range silicon lube, you really don't need a lot to get the desired effect and the maximum effect. And you don't start to get that claggy breakdown and that sort of gritty sort of feeling that you often get with water-based products.
Sure.
And sometimes even oil-based products. Often they're emulsified between, a water and an oil-based product anyway. But here's the thing. Avoid cheap silicon lubes with silicon toys.
Right.
Avoid oil-based lubes with any rubber or petrochemical-based, PVC-based toy.
So oil's okay.
So same is not good.
Yes.
Right?
You want different.
You want an oil-based product with a silicon toy is fine. A silicon, even a cheap silicon lube with an oil-based product is also fine. A water-based product with everything is perfect.
And, that makes sense.
So avoid same-same is what I'm saying.
Avoid same-same. Yeah. There we go. Now, a couple of core questions I had.
I just want to harp on a couple of things with petrochemical-based / PVC-based products. I mentioned earlier on about phthalates and how they are cancerous. I'm going to be a little bit personal here.
Righto.
I find that any petrochemical-based rubber product burns the living hell out of myself and ruins a night instantly.
Yep.
Within minutes, ruins everything. What does help a little bit is if I use a condom over a toy because it protects the petrochemical oils that leach. But you've probably seen many people's toys that have been in a toy bag and you've wondered why they're discoloured and they've got marks on them and all of that. That's because they leach oils and they take on board. They're porous, right?
Yeah.
So they take on board the colours and the oils of whatever's around them. And so unless they are specifically for personal use and only for personal use and you use condoms to keep them clean and protected, silicon is the best way to go, but they're expensive. Silicon toys are much more expensive. And don't always think that because it says silicon on the packet, it's a silicon toy.
Apart from burning sensations, what are some of the other allergic reactions that I should be cautious of? In case I am allergic to something.
Sure. I'm sure anyone that's allergic or has an actual rubber allergy mm-hmm. will probably know it.
Yep.
There aren't that many people out there. There are a few that profess to have that, particularly when it comes to condoms. But the simple fact is that there aren't that many out there. What they probably have is an allergy to the oils that are leaching from the petrochemical-based toys. Now, rubber is actually a natural product.
Okay.
It often has petrochemical softeners in it to help it, go further and be soft and flexible and all of that. But latex is made from a tree. But people do have latex allergies. I'm acknowledging that. There are inert products that are man-made, like nitrile, that are allergy-free. But they're a lot stiffer. They're not as soft and as flexible. Even silicon, in its proper form and in its purest solid form, is not quite as soft as a jelly toy, you know. And a jelly toy, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but, you know, if you bought a jelly toy, you stuck it in the bottom of your bag and you go to it 12 months later and it's actually this blob, this like gelatinous kind of leaching blob that resembles nothing like a cock that you purchased in the bottom of your bag.
Which brings me to my final question as we wrap things up tonight.
Thank God for that. Yes. Yes.
So if I have purchased the wrong size or my vibrator carks it.
Yeah.
Can I get a refund at the store?
Oh, can I tell you? This is a great question. And the fact of the matter is, there is an entire industry that has been built around the simple premise that due to hygiene reasons, you cannot return the product.
Oh, can I even get a warranty? No?
No. Oh. You're lucky if you get a house your father.
I'm going to take him to Consumer Affairs.
Well, good luck with that. This is Hide and Seek and Joy.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.